Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
What do the religions of Barack Obama, George W. Bush, and the pastors of several of the largest churches in America have in common?
We've been studying through the Sermon on the Mount. We come this morning to the closing section of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus wraps up his sermon by giving four powerful warnings. He warns about the broad road. He warns about wolves in sheep's clothing. And then warns about calling Jesus Lord but not really knowing him. And then building our lives on a foundation of sand. Those four warnings. That's how he closes out his sermon. And the first one of those warnings is in verses 13 and 14. It's very straightforward. It's a command followed by reasons to obey that command. Jesus said, enter the narrow gate. That's the command. And then he goes on to give four contrasts between the two gates, the wide gate and the narrow gate. And those contrasts form the reason for obeying the command, the reason why we should enter into the narrow gate. So, what I'd like to do is take it a little backwards. We'll look at the four contrasts first, and then we'll go ahead and look at the command. So Jesus contrasts the narrow and wide gates by showing how different they are in four different areas. And the first of those is popularity. They're very different in their level of popularity. Look at verse 13. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter it. Now, you can underline many there. Broad road is wildly popular, bumper-to-bumper traffic, as far as the eye can see on the broad road. Everyone loves that road. Verse 14, but small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find that. If you underline few, and underline many, you'll get the idea. The narrow road is desolate, it is lonely, it is obscure. It's a little two-track trail that goes off in some strange direction, looks like a dead end. It's uphill, rocky, and it just doesn't look appealing. Hardly anybody ever takes it. Whatever you think about President Obama politically, I think it's fair to say that he is an excellent spokesman for the most dominant religious belief system of our culture. In a 2004 interview, he said this. He said, I am a Christian. So I draw from the Christian faith. On the other hand, I believe that there are many paths to the same place. He went on to say, all people of faith, Christians, Jews, Muslims, animists, everyone knows the same God. And then he said this, there's a belief, certainly in some quarters, that people haven't embraced Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they're going to hell. I find it hard to believe that my God would consign four-fifths of the world to hell. I can't imagine that my God would allow some little Hindu kid in India who never interacts with the Christian faith to somehow burn for all eternity. End quote. Now that is a view known as religious pluralism, and it is probably the most dominant religious doctrine in our culture. On October 7th, 2007, President Bush said the same thing. Just to show you how widespread this doctrine is, President Bush said, I believe that all the world, whether they be Muslim, Christian, or any other religion, prays to the same God. Now, the reason I'm giving you these quotations this morning is not to stir up any strife in the room about politics. My purpose is to show you how incredibly dominant this religious viewpoint really is. Anytime you get George Bush and Barack Obama to say exactly the same thing on an issue, you know you're dealing with a very dominant, very widespread cultural consensus. This is the religion of our culture. It's pluralism. All faiths are essentially the same. We're all praying to the same God, and hell probably does not exist. And if it does exist, there's only one person there, and it's Adolf Hitler. Right? For some reason, people are okay with him being there, but nobody else. Hitler is the only one who's actually responsible for his sin, culpable. Everyone else, no. The great majority will not go to hell. They'll go to heaven instead. And it's not just politicians who preach this religion. The Roman Catholic Church has moved in recent years in this direction, and so has much of evangelicalism. Even Billy Graham has said that he believes there will be Hindus and Muslims and non-believers who will end up in heaven even though they never heard the name of Jesus. Religious pluralism is the biggest religious consensus in our culture, and preaching it is a sure ticket to popularity. People write about the Christian view of the afterlife all the time. None of them ever become bestsellers, but Rob Bell, he's part of the emergent church movement, and he wrote a book titled Love Wins, arguing that God would never send anyone to hell, and everybody gets a second chance after they die, and that book immediately rocketed to number one in the Amazon bestseller list of all religious books last month. People love this message. Joel Osteen had to move his church into a football stadium because every Sunday 44,000 people crowd in to hear him preach this doctrine. It's the religion of Presidents Obama and Bush. It is the religion of pastors of some of the biggest churches in the United States. It is the religion of the modern Roman Catholic Church. It is the religion of Oprah, the religion of Hollywood. It is the one and only religion that teachers in public schools are allowed to push on the children in the United States. It is truly the sacred cow of our age. You do not speak out against this religion. If you do, you will be hated and despised and marginalized and possibly even face legal repercussions for speaking against this doctrine. And it's not hard to imagine why it's so popular. I mean, if there's only one way to God, if any religion is true, if any religion out there is the true one and all the other ones are false, then that means that most human beings will not be saved. And that is just simply hard to swallow. Everyone making it to heaven, that's just so much more pleasant. And it's not a new controversy. It existed back in Jesus' day, the same question. In Luke 13, Jesus was preaching, and people heard him preaching. They got this thinking after a while, this sounds kind of narrow, kind of exclusive. I mean, if I'm understanding what he's saying, it sounds to me like hardly anybody will make it into heaven. And so somebody finally just came right out and asked him. Luke 13:23, someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? And he said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Many will try and fail. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you. Away from me, all you evildoers. And there will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are thrown out. According to Jesus, only a tiny percentage of the human population will be in heaven. And if that's something that you have a hard time swallowing, just make sure you understand, your argument is with Jesus Christ, not with me. This is not my doctrine. I didn't make this up. This is what Jesus taught. And so it's true. It's true. You know, when you're a baby, you have the option of, if you don't like something, just putting your hands over your face and pretending it's not there. Right? You can do that when you're a child. When you become an adult, you don't have that option anymore. You see something you don't like, you don't have the option of just ignoring it. You have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. If you live in Alabama and you get a phone call saying that your house has been destroyed by a tornado and nobody in your family survived, everything in you might want to say, no, it's not true. It's not true. I don't want to believe this. But if in reality it actually happened, you have to deal with it. You're going to have to face it. When you're an adult, you don't believe things based on whether you want them to be true or whether you want to believe they happen. You believe things based on whether they're actually true. And so when Jesus tells us something that comes as a shock and it grates against our soul, and we don't like it. The wise course is not to argue our way out of it by coming up with philosophies and philosophical reasonings that will kind of get out from under it. The wise course is to simply accept it and deal with it. If it's a hard reality, you got to deal with it. Instead of arguing about whether the people on the broad road ought to be in heaven or ought to be in hell, just accept the fact. The wise woman or man will just simply accept that and get on the narrow road. You don't have to understand why God does everything He does, but you do have to do what He requires. He's God. In this case, if you want life, you have to enter through the narrow gate. So, the gates differ in popularity. Secondly, they differ in exclusivity. The wide road, that's the road of lots of diversity and pluralism and ecumenism and tolerance and open-mindedness, and everybody's on that road. People on that road will accept any religious system as long as it doesn't contradict their cardinal doctrine of pluralism. Your beliefs don't matter. What God you worship doesn't matter. What your relationship with God doesn't matter. Nothing matters except the one doctrine. You just have to hold on to that one doctrine that everybody goes to heaven, nobody goes to hell. As long as you hold on to that, everything else is fair game. But Jesus said, no, there's one way to heaven. Only one way. In fact, this is probably the teaching, the one of Jesus' teachings that people hate the most. People in our culture. People, a lot of people claim to admire Jesus, but they hate this. Jesus did say it, though. John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Romans 10:13, no one can be saved without having heard the gospel preached to them. The truth is narrow. It's just narrow. And we should know, I mean, this is obvious. This, you just know this from common sense. The truth is narrow, isn't it? How many right answers are there to 2 plus 2 compared to how many wrong answers? Right? There's only one right answer. If you ask somebody for directions, how do I get to this certain place? And they say, oh, easy. You just get on any road and take it any direction. And it'll take you right there. If somebody gives you those directions and you believe it, you accept that, that proves one thing. You know what that proves about you? What it proves is, you don't really care that much about getting to that destination. You just wanted somebody to validate your desire to go wherever you want to go. Right? Because anybody with a brain knows you cannot get on any road going any direction and end up in a certain place. This culture boasts about being so open-minded. I mean, they're just open-minded about everything. And whenever I hear people boast about being so open-minded, I always want to ask them, are you open-minded to the idea of a narrow way? You open to that? Are you open to the idea of that there's only one way to heaven? Because if you're not open to that, if you're not open to the possibility that maybe Jesus was right, then maybe you're not quite as open-minded as you thought. The pluralists really are just as narrow-minded as anyone else, because they insist that their way, their doctrine, their open-minded pluralistic way is the only right way, and everybody else is dead wrong. They're not. They're just as exclusive as anybody. See, both roads are actually exclusive. The narrow road excludes all the people on the broad road, and the broad road excludes everybody on the narrow road, including Jesus Christ. Broad road excludes Jesus Christ. Both sides are exclusive. The question is, whom do they exclude?
There are many doctrines in the Bible that are respected in our culture, but there are others that are taboo. And if you believe them, our culture will do all they can to heap shame upon you. They'll make jokes about you, assume bad motives, lump you in into categories of the most despised people, and in some cases, deny you employment or even put you in jail. When you consider whether your heart is fully devoted to Christ, a good question to ask is, are there any doctrines in Scripture that you keep quiet about? You accept them as true, but You avoid mentioning them as much as possible because of the embarrassment or fear of some kind of social consequence. Ask the Lord to strengthen your faith to not only believe the truth of everything God has said, but also to trust in the goodness and wisdom of everything God has said.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.